But anyway, we've been in the Word of the Lord in Psalms, and we didn't quite finish Psalm 22. I'm going to go back and try to catch the rest of that in a week or two, but I want to go on to Psalm 23 tonight. And I, at one time, kind of had it where I could quote this from memory out of the King James, but I think that has long left me. And Ruth, I don't guess you know how to quote Psalm 23, do you? No. Well, let's go to Psalm 23. And this, I think, when you say the 23rd Psalm, this is something that everybody knows. Many of us can quote it, but let's read this tonight. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let's pray over this. Let's also pray let's have prayer for Sister Carmen to give her a good recovery from her surgery. Let's continue to pray for Brother Lloyd. And let's pray tonight. God, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful to be here, Lord. This is a privilege to be here in your presence tonight and to congregate and gather together and to study your word, Lord. And we ask that, Lord, please bless this time together. And Father, those that are sick among us, Lord, let your hand be upon them and let there just be a hedge of protection around the families of this church, oh God. Lord, we don't deserve it, but just because of your goodness and your mercy for your name's sake, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I don't want to say something that's incorrect tonight, but I do want to comment on the 23rd Psalm and say that a lot of people have used this psalm to read to somebody who's near death. And that this is something so-and-so's getting ready to die. Well, it's time to, you know, to roll out the 23rd Psalm and have them read it for them. And I think a lot of that has to do with the verse, and I can't remember if it's verse 4 or which verse it is, that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Is it verse 4? Thank you, Ruth. And so people have this idea that David was saying, though I'm about to die at my time of my death, I'm not going to fear any evil because you're with me. But I'm not sure that that is actually the picture that David was painting. I think David was looking at God as his shepherd and saying, you're going to direct me, and even though I'm in enemy territory, even though I'm in areas that would be the valley of the shadow of death, I don't need to be afraid, God, because you're here with me. You're here with me. And so let's start at verse 1, though. And believe it or not, and I might not be teaching for very long because I only really wanted to focus on verse 1, and verse 1 is very short tonight. But I want to kind of just have some introductory remarks. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And one thing I want to say about I shall not want, I think we all realize it, is he is saying, I shall not be in need. to where I don't have enough food, or that I don't have water, or that I don't have a place. You know, what is the scripture saying? You know, I was young and I'm now old, but yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. I shall not want. I shall have adequate for me. But David starts off saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And you notice he invokes the name of God. He doesn't just say capital L, little O, little R, little D. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He invokes the name of God, and we don't really know how they pronounced it back then. We don't know. That name, that pronunciation was lost. And some people thought it was something like Jehovah, and it's now believed that it would be more like a Yahweh. But he invokes his name. It's that word "the," I don't think is in the original text. We don't say the Kristen or the Brian. So if I can just use the name Yahweh, is Yahweh is my shepherd. He names him by name. And the word "my" in the Hebrew, I read 3 or 4 commentaries that says that it involves a deep feeling of personal relationship, that he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And the idea of, so he's saying Yahweh, God, is my shepherd. That motif, if for lack of a better word, is all throughout the Bible. As far as God being a shepherd. God being a shepherd. For example, if you look all the way back in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, chapter 48, and Jacob is blessing his sons, and Jacob he blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day." Jacob was saying that God had been his shepherd. In the 28th Psalm, the psalmist said, "Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd. Carry them forever." The 80th Psalm cries out unto God and says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth." So even though he was sitting on the throne, he was being likened unto a shepherd. And in the 95th Psalm, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God." And you notice the word shepherd is not in this passage, but it says, "He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand." So you see that shepherd motif being used there. Psalm 100, "Know that the Lord," or "know that Yahweh, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And so now you can understand why the Jews really didn't, why they really had a problem with Jesus. When in John chapter 10, Jesus, after you get all of these Old Testament references of God being called a shepherd, that God is my shepherd, God is the shepherd, God is the shepherd, then in John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And you saw how these Jews, again, they knew their Old Testament, and they knew how God had been called a shepherd so many times. And I only mentioned the high spots. There's probably, I didn't want to overemphasize the point. Believe it or not, I could have easily produced over about 24, 25 more verses that talk in the Old Testament that talk about God. I really just cherry picked a few. I'll be honest with you. It's like, well, which ones sound the best? Let me just grab three or four of the 25 or 30 that's here, okay? And so these were my selections. But these Jews knew that. And so in John chapter 10, when he said, I am the good shepherd, oh, it made them furious because they knew what he was saying. He was equating himself with the shepherd of the Old Testament. And then he says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And he flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. That would be the Gentile nations. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And so there will be one flock. In other words, one people of God, whether you be Jew or Gentile. One flock and one shepherd. Verse 27, he said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And if you look at Revelation chapter 7, John goes and he sees this great big multitude of people that no man could number out of every kindred, race, tribe, tongue. And I believe it's an angel comes to him and says, who is this? And he goes, I don't really have any idea who this is. And so in verse 14, he said unto him, sir, you know, John tells them, you know who these people are. And he says, these are the ones coming out of great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. And this verse 27 is kind of an interesting verse. It says, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. So the Lamb, the sheep, the Lamb is actually more than just a lamb. He's really going to be their shepherd. He was only a lamb to the extent of being a sacrificial lamb. And he's going to guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away the tears from their eyes. And so that word, the concept, when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, or Yahweh is my shepherd, he was echoing something that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis and comes forward. And if you look, this is something that, these are just some observations that I've got. I might seem a little disjointed, but this is just kind of the way I wanted to start with Psalm 23. We all agree here tonight that David was a type of Christ. That's not, we've talked about that so many times, that's easy to know. It's interesting that David, who became the king over God's people, or should I say over God's sheep, what did God have him do before he rose to power? Well, if you'll remember, God had rejected Saul from being king, and he spoke to Samuel, and he goes, go out and anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be king over Israel in place of Saul, because I'm through with Saul. And it says in 1 Samuel in 16 and verse 10, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. You know, you got some nice boys here, but ain't none of these guys the one that God wants. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all of your sons here? You notice Jesse didn't even bother to bring David. Did not even bother to bring him in. Samuel had to ask Jesse, have you got another son that you're not telling me about? You know, is there a scandal here? Have you got a son? You know, that was not the case. That's what we would think nowadays. But Samuel said, are all your sons here? And Jesse said, there remains yet the youngest, but he's keeping the sheep. Behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for he will not sit down till, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him, and he, David, was ruddy. And I never have looked up that word ruddy. He was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, told Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. So what was an Old Testament type of Jesus Christ doing when God pulled him out to do his work for him? He was being a shepherd. He was being a shepherd over his father's sheep. He was being a shepherd over his father's sheep. And you look at another Old Testament type of Christ. If you'll remember, Jesus Christ, according to the book of Acts, remember when Peter's preaching to them on the day of Pentecost, and Peter got on to, he says that he quoted the old script, the Old Testament scripture saying that God would raise up a prophet likened unto Moses. And so Moses, who was a type of Christ, and Christ was a prophet likened unto Moses, according to Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 2. And we see, what was Moses doing when God called him? Go to Exodus 3 and 1. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And that's where he saw the burning bush. But so David was a shepherd. And then Moses was a shepherd. And interesting to me is that it almost seems like, by looking at it from a scriptural standpoint, that a shepherd is kind of an esteemed position. I mean, wouldn't you agree with all these verses? Especially if God chose to liken himself unto a shepherd. Well, and in fact, if you'll remember, who got the announcement about the birth of Messiah? Who got the angelic hosts with the announcement of Messiah? It was shepherds that were tending their flocks. Whoops, I've just dropped my glasses. Give me a second. And so, if you look, shepherds are esteemed in the scripture, but if you, Carl, go to the book of Genesis chapter 46, and never do you really ever hear Egyptians referred to as, Do you ever find anything in the Bible where Egyptians are referred to as godly? They're always referred to as worldly. And Joseph was talking to his brothers. His brothers were getting ready to go in and present themselves to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, hey, I want to meet your brothers. I want to meet your dad. And it says in Genesis 46, when Pharaoh calls you and says, what's your occupation? You shall say, your servants have been, are you ready? Keepers of livestock from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. And I will say this, I consider myself a sheep, okay? I have the title of pastor, which means shepherd. But I have that title, but I remind myself every day that I too am a sheep. As far as being in the role of a quote unquote shepherd, it's amazing at how some people in the world, when they find out I pastor, it's instant respect. It's like, oh, wow, you're a pastor. Oh, my. Yeah. Well, hey, let me. I've gone into places and businesses where the boss has said, listen, guys, this man's a pastor. You'll not use any of that language while he's in here. We want to show this man respect. I've had that happen, but I will tell you, I've also had it back just blow up in my face to where when people find out that I'm a pastor, I'm just an abomination in their eyes. And it says, the word pastor means shepherd, and it says every shepherd is an abomination in the eyes of an Egyptian. And I don't mind being that, because I probably deserve any bad thing that I've got coming. But I will say that when it comes to the subject of Jesus Christ, to so many people, it just raises up feelings. And there was a famous, I say famous, I don't even know her name, and frankly, I don't want to know her name. But she's a supposed to be famous female athlete. And she, made a statement the other day saying that Christians, people that call themselves Christians, need to be checked out. In other words, if you're a Christian, you're dangerous. You're dangerous. And I talked to a man on the phone just yesterday, work-related, and so the subject came up about radical Muslims and terrorism and all of that. And then he said, yeah, that's true. He said, yeah, and he started naming all of these radical Muslim terrorist attacks. He goes, but then again, it's the Christians that go in and do all these mass shootings here in the United States and kill people. And I'm like, wow. You know, there was an attempted mass shooting in a church in Texas. I don't know if you, Joel Osteen is not, I'm not really a follower of Joel Osteen. Your Best Life Now, if you remember, I've talked about his book. But that was his church. I don't think it was a Christian that went in there and tried to open up fire. I think it was a transgender, if I remember, if I got the news right. But anyway, to some people, Jesus Christ, it's an abomination. And one man wrote, this is kind of interesting, at least to me, this is Sister Wiggins, this is Dr. Stephen Lawson. You'll be familiar with him. He wrote this. He says, what is so amazing is that in ancient Israel, a shepherd's work was considered the lowest of all work. A shepherd would actually live with his sheep 24 hours a day with unwavering devotion day and night, both in fair weather and in bad, to nurture, guide, and protect his sheep. The shepherd would assume full responsibility for the needs and safety of his flock, even risking his own life for their protection. And if you'll remember, David told that story to Saul. He said, you know, when he was getting ready to go fight Goliath, he told Saul, he said, there was a day I was tending my father's sheep, and a lion came. And he said, I think he said something about grabbing the lion by the beard. And he says, a bear came. And you know what? He says, if I can slay the lion and if I can slay the bear, I can slay this giant. David, as a shepherd, was putting his life on the line for his father's sheep. And Jesus said, the good shepherd, what? Lays down his life for the sheep. And one passage, in fact, this is the passage that we will kind of end on. I told you weren't going to go very long tonight. The passage that we're going to kind of end on tonight is a story that has haunted me. And I wonder, am I the only one that's like, I don't think I'm the only one that's like this. I hope I'm not, because this would make me weird or something. But there are certain passages in the scripture that every time I read them, they haunt me. Am I the only one like that? Or are there passages that you read that every time you get them, you read them, it just evokes a feeling that you are not able to it's a haunting feeling to me. And one of the passages is the story of when, and I'm going to get some of my names wrong, and feel free to speak up and correct me on my names. When God had basically had his belly full of Ahab, and he wanted to kill Ahab, and he kind of had a what I would call a divine council meeting. He had his angelic host, however you want to, divine council, however you want to call them. But he gathered them together and said, how can we cause Ahab to fall in battle and to die? How can we do that? As though God needed any ideas. And if you'll remember, one of the members of this quote-unquote divine council said, I got it. He goes, okay, what? Does anybody remember what was his idea? He said, I'll go down there and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouths of his prophets. And if you'll remember, Ahab was with a king from another country, and he was trying to convince that king to go to war to help him, and they would go to war together. And to convince that king, he paraded out all of his false prophets, and one of the false prophets even had horns like a bull and went running around, made a fool of himself, he did. And that other king was like, man, this is like a circus sideshow here with this guy with these horns running around. And I don't think I've got the Hebrew rendering exactly right. You might go and check my Hebrew rendering on this. But basically, I think that king turned to Ahab and said, your prophets are like a bunch of used car salesmen. Okay? And again, that might not be literally what's in the Hebrew. But your prophets are like a bunch of used car salesmen. And he goes, don't you have any other prophets? And he goes, oh, I have one other, but I hate him because he never prophesies good. And so he goes out and he brings in, and I can't remember if his name is Micah or Micaiah. Micaiah? Thank you, Carl. Anyway, he brings Micaiah in. And he says, okay, prophesy, Micaiah. And Micaiah says, oh, the battle? Hey, go for it. Victory, victory, victory. And Ahab knew that Micaiah didn't mean it. And it made him furious, or I think as the King James says, he was wroth. And he says, that's not what you really think. And then this is the passage. When you go from something that's almost comedy to all of a sudden that's something deathly serious, that's when I get that haunted feeling. Ahab said, you didn't really see that. You didn't see a vision of us winning in battle. That's not really what you think. Tell us, go ahead, come on, Come on, Micaiah, tell us what you really think. And he says, you want to really know what I really saw? I'll tell you what I saw. I saw all of Israel scattered on a hillside like sheep without a shepherd. And I don't know, but that passage has always haunted me. The fact of sheep without a shepherd. Sheep that, you know, sheep have no protection. They don't have any means of protecting themselves from predators. A sheep can do nothing. I saw a video just earlier this week of a wolf, 140-pound gray wolf, huge, jumped on a wolverine to eat a wolverine. I don't know if you guys know what a wolverine is. They're small, but they have unbelievably big teeth. It was the worst mistake that wolf ever made. And it was, I watched the video 3 or 4 times. Finally, the wolf, you can see him trying to run away from the wolverine. And the wolverine's like, no, you're going to. He tries 3 times to get away from the wolverine. And the wolverine catches him and puts him down on the ground. But see, sheep don't have those kind of defensive capabilities. Sheep have to depend on their shepherd, much in the same way we, as the sheepfold of God, have to depend on our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why we, as the sheep of God, and I put myself in that group with you guys, we've got to have God leading us and guiding us and showing us, no, that you need to, this is the way you need to walk. This is the way you need to live. Because it's like Micaiah said, I saw Israel like sheep scattered on a hillside without a shepherd. In fact, I didn't have this in my notes, and Carl found it for me. He said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his home in peace. And you know, Psalm 23, David starts off. David, and I'll close my laptop as proof that I'm done tonight. David lived his life as a shepherd. David lived his life as a shepherd. He tended his father's sheep. He fought off a lion. He fought off a bear. David was a great shepherd, folks. But even a great shepherd like David said, the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. In other words, I need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. And that's Jesus Christ in John chapter 10, erased all doubt. He said, I'm him. I'm he. All those Old Testament references, all those Old Testament allusions, I am the fulfillment of all of those. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd will give his life for the sheep. And again, Revelation that we read earlier tonight is so amazing, that the lamb that sits on the throne, the lamb is also their shepherd. So he was a lamb, but he was their shepherd. Let's all pray tonight. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we are so thankful tonight for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your guidance, Lord. Thank you for being a shepherd unto us, Lord, that you are our protector. You lead us. You guide us. Lord, we have food because of you. We have water because of you. We have clothes to wear because of you. Houses to live in because of you. Because, Lord, you provide for us, God. You are our shepherd, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.